set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
Full troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main jet.
Echo Station 3PA.
On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that shot fire, boys. Right now, I feel like I'd take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the bay.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. It's episode number 99. We're almost at 100, almost at a century mark. It's pretty exciting stuff.
Who would have ever guessed?
I know, right? Well, I think we all guessed because we're all Star Wars fans, and Star Wars is pretty popular, so things continue.
So can we talk about how I'm surprised that I myself have made it to 100 or almost to 100?
Well, you're such a passionate Star Wars fan, Chris. I thought that was a given, but... So the voice you hear tonight is my co-host Chris, and I won't welcome him because we've already been talking, so that's pretty good. We'll move on from here. And I was hoping he was going to chime in and say, hey, what about me? And I was going to say, oh, Tim's here. I thought we got rid of Tim.
Misa back. But,
the voice you hear is Tim. Tim, how are you?
I am doing fantastic, gentlemen.
Awesome. We've had a good week, actually, for the network. We've been doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes, and hopefully this stuff will come out. Over the next few weeks, we'll have some stuff to announce and stuff coming out. We'll announce some of that stuff later on in the show, so that's actually good news, too. Let's see. No reason to do anything before. We can just jump right into the news, I suppose. There was some pretty bad news this week, actually. Tim had brought this to my attention, and I kind of read up on this website and a couple other sites. IO9 had an article reporting that Rachel Obi-Wan had been robbed.
What?
Kind of systematically robbed over the last few months, kind of an inside job. You guys have a chance to read the article on this and kind of seek out more information, or am I breaking this to you guys too?
I got the email from Rancho Obi-Wan.
No.
I just read the articles as they were posted, and some folks even, I believe actually Joel posted the email to our Slack channel. That's where I first heard it.
So, you know, for those who don't know, I don't imagine anybody who listens to the show doesn't know, but Rancho Obi-Wan is a privately owned collection of Star Wars memorabilia by Steve Stansweet, and it's just an amazing collection. I've not been out to Rancho Obi-Wan, but hopefully someday. I usually see it when it comes to celebrations, and he brings a small portion of his collection out there to see it, and it's always cool stuff to see, but all the memorabilia that he's collected over the years is just amazing. But now... You know, somebody who was a friend of his. I don't know if he actually worked for Rancho Obi-Wan or was just affiliated with them. I'm assuming he worked there at some point. But Carl Edward Cunningham was a trusted friend of Steve Sansweet, and he is evidently behind the theft of over 100 items from the collection. He turned himself into police at the end of March. So this actually happened before we saw Steve at Celebration. And thinking back to this and then thinking back to seeing him there, it was like, I'm like, what was going through his mind at Celebration? You know, this huge event for Star Wars fans. And inside, he's feeling betrayed and you know, all kinds of horrible thoughts, I'm imagining. He put a good face forward and kind of go out to the public and do that. But that had to be devastating to him to have to go to Celebration, you know, 2-3 weeks right after this has, you know, come out that they've caught the guy and so forth.
Absolutely. And it's had an interesting response from some Star Wars celebrities as well.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, Mark Hamill has posted on Twitter pretty vehemently out, you know, against this and how horrible this was. Actually asked Steve to post a list of the stolen items with as much description as possible so that collectors could kind of keep an eye out for the stuff that was out there. I thought that was a nice effort by Mark. He really doesn't want this stuff to be out on the black market. And truly, it is kind of a black market. I mean, you're probably not going to see this stuff up on, you know, some kind of popular auction site. you know, where the general public can find this. I think this is going to kind of be some stuff where, you know, you have someone who might have something who is approaching a collector privately, trying to, you know, sell some of this stuff, because a lot of this stuff is pretty rare. I mean, this is not the kind of thing that you can jump onto one of those auction sites like eBay or whatever and, you know, find a bunch of.
Right. It's probably not going to show up on eBay, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they said this had kind of come about when they found, what was it, a vintage rare Boba Fett figure that was selling, was being sold?
Yes. Once information, I guess, got out amongst kind of the elite collector community, one of those collectors who I guess is in Southern California called Steve and said, hey, I have this. I just bought this from someone not long ago. And so that, I guess, kind of closed the loop on this. And that's where they figured out that Mr. Cunningham may have been involved in this.
And you know, you got to kind of figure that anybody who's in that level of collecting within Star Wars is going to know each other. They're probably going to have a personal relationship.
Yeah.
And, you know, how do you, and I've always wondered about this, about rare artwork, too. I mean, it's not like there's 10 of these, you know, prints around there. It's one of a kind. How do you sell that? You know, how do you I'm not looking for a how-to of becoming a criminal. I'm just wondering how that actually works. Because, I mean, I guess there's unscrupulous people everywhere. But, I mean, you know this is something that's not, you know, found in your neighbor's basement. It's a rare vintage figure. How are you going to, you know, if it's too good to be true, it's probably stolen or something, you know, or fake. And I guess a couple of people have come forward and they're going to return the figures or return the stuff to Steve Sansweet and Rancho Obi-Wan. And that's good. I mean, I think that's great that people are doing that and coming out and saying, hey, this isn't right. But boy, that is just, that's hard to deal with when you've dealt with somebody for, and he said over 20 years, you know, he's known this guy. And that's just, I mean, that is such a personal betrayal.
Yeah.
I don't know how you, I mean, you know, I don't know how you trust to get after that. How do you put your faith in people and say, yeah, let's just go forward like nothing ever happened? I mean, it's got to weigh on your mind.
And the good thing is, too, that there's actually now a list of items that were taken and haven't been accounted for yet. So, and there's actually a list at theforce.net, too, if you are a collector that listens to this and think you might be in possession of a stolen item.
Yeah, please reach out. Okay, let's see. Oh, Tim, you know, this is probably right up Joel's alley. Joel should be here for this one, but the Star Wars pop-up bar article you posted in Slack, this sounds pretty cool. This is a fan-based pop-up bar. It's only, they said it's extended through June. I don't know how long, I guess it started maybe in April. It was supposed to be a two-month stint, I guess. And who was the gentleman that put this together? He worked with Kevin Smith. Where's his name? I'm losing my mind here. J.C. Riefenberg.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He has created this bar. It's called the Scum and Villainy Cantina. It's in Hollywood. It's just north of Hollywood Boulevard, and it's almost like a fan based bar that has no association with Lucasfilm or Disney. It's just meant to be a Star Wars-esque location. Mm-hmm. None of the people that work there, bartenders, waitresses, none of them are dressed up in universe stuff. It's just they're there. But the fans are dressed up. So you'll have, you know, Wookiees walking around in Jedi and Stormtroopers and stuff. And there's been a lot of, I guess, you know, A-list celebrities showing up there too, doing their thing. I guess it's pretty exclusive to get in, though. Advanced ticket sales only, so you got to buy a ticket in advance. And they're between $50 and $80 just to get in. Seems a bit steep to me, but I think it'd be fun to do.
Yeah, it would certainly be something fun to experience at least once.
Yeah, and if it's made to, they have no picture of the inside of this place, really, that you can really tell much. But if it's set up like the cantina, I mean, that'd be cool. I mean, that'd be really cool to go in and sit in a booth and kind of just soak up the atmosphere of being in the cantina.
Absolutely.
You know, that would be awesome. I mean, they had that mock setup at Celebration Anaheim that we weren't really allowed to be in but got kicked out of. It was really cool to even see it, to walk near that thing and see the setup and see the bar and see, like, He's like, this looks exactly like the movie. If they do that, I mean, how cool would that be to just go in and sit down and have a drink?
Oh, absolutely. And like you said, it's got some celebrities going in. Kevin Smith, I believe the article said, recorded one or two episodes of one of his podcasts there. Mm-hmm. We've had family of the creator himself, George Lucas. We've had various actors and other Star Wars related celebrities show up there. So it's kind of cool. And, you know, you might be able to get a sighting of someone when you go in.
Yeah. I mean, you'd be rubbing elbows with some pretty popular people, it sounds like. I did like the fact they said that Greg Grunberg had gone there with his son. And his quote was, short of flying my X-Wing, it was the closest thing to feeling Star Wars. I'm like, you flew an X-Wing, dude. Come on. You're just rubbing it in our face now. It's like, oh, I mean, you know, you got to be in a movie. Don't tell me this is the best thing you've done for Star Wars. But
yeah, it looks like a cool place.
It does. It's only temporary. So if you're out in that area or going to be visiting the area, I would say, you know, look it up and try to get in, because that sounds like a lot of fun. I wish it was a traveling kind of pop-up bar.
I was just going to say, we kind of need one on the East Coast, particularly in the Northeast. That'd be very nice.
New York City would be a great spot to have a cantina, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
That'd be a nice spot for New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, you know, if it's at Comic Con, the line would be like a 3-day line to get in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you'd never get in. I think the lines for that would be longer than any Comic Con line.
Well, hey, that just means that less lines for the rest
there
of us.
There you go. That's true. Yeah, because Chris will go to everything non-Star Wars, so.
Correct.
But speaking of which, I think it's important to point out, because I don't think that we mentioned it before on the show here, and we'll talk about it more as we get closer, but the three of us are going to New York City Comic Con.
We are. We'll be there on Friday and Saturday.
That is the plan, yes.
And I believe Joel is also going. Do we know if anyone else from our Slack community is going, or anyone else that's communicated it to us?
Well, we know that Derek isn't going after his terrible celebration experience. Yeah. You know, waiting in lines.
People.
He should go, though. I mean, he went to New York this last fall. He visits there. You know, he survived that. He could survive this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He survived an afternoon with me, Joel.
Yeah, he didn't get lost. He didn't get mugged, you know?
Yeah.
And this will actually be my second Comic-Con, New York City Comic-Con. My first was in 1994.
Wow. Way back.
So I think it's pretty much not unchanged.
Yeah,
it's unchanged.
Sure.
Probably. Was that the Javits Center then, too? Has it always been there?
It was at the Javits Center, but it was, you know, the 1994 was pretty much a floor of comic books. There were some panels here and there, but a lot of it was a little more offbeat. So,
yeah, Comic-Con has kind of changed as far as what their focus is, so. And I bet you'll see a difference in when you walk and you're on the stairs or looking down in the main hallway and just how many people are there. You'll appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure. We'll talk more about that as the time gets closer.
Okay. Have either of you guys had a chance to listen to James Arnold Taylor's Clone War Conversations?
It is fantastic.
Isn't it?
Oh,
I haven't listened to the
whole
episode. I've listened to bits and pieces of the first one, and it is just really cool. I've got to go back and listen to all of his stuff now because you know, the concept of having him sit down with his fellow cast members from the Clone Wars and kind of just talk about not only the show and how they did things and what went on behind the scenes, but just fandom in general and what their introduction to Star Wars was, what their background was with it. I mean, that's just really cool stuff. I think it's a level beyond behind the scenes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And it's while the focus is on the Clone Wars and the people that James Arnold Taylor worked with on the Clone Wars, kind of like you alluded to, Lou, it's not just about the Clone Wars. It's they talk about a lot of things that are kind of tangential to it. James Arnold Taylor is kind of famous for pulling back the curtain some on voice acting. We oftentimes see so much on, you know, maybe if it's a special on a TV show or it's a bonus feature on a Blu-ray or something, you know, a making of a movie or something like that. So we see how regular actors do it, film actors and such, but mm-hmm. we tend not to see so much of that with voice actors. And some people think, oh, hey, that's kind of boring because it's just someone standing in front of a microphone like, you know, the three of us are doing. But there really is a heck of an art to it. There's a lot of talent. I'm amazed that both James Arnold Taylor, although he's been pretty well practiced in sliding into his Obi-Wan voice, because he does it pretty regularly, and has done it for various events and such since the Clone Wars. But Anna Graves, who was his guest on this first episode of Clone Wars Conversations, and Anna Graves played Duchess Satine, along with a couple of other roles mm-hmm. Throughout the series. I was just amazed how they could both of them slide in and out of those voices, that they just have that physical memory of how they make those voices, how they change their own voice. And literally in the middle of a sentence, they could just, you know, hey, here's a few words in the voice of Obi-Wan or the voice of Satine. And it was just incredible. And yeah, it showed, they talked about some behind the scenes stuff, but yeah, they also talked about their own fandoms and how they got involved in this and what it meant to them. And, you know, just, it was just kind of like we were sitting on the sidelines listening to two friends. And I think that they are legitimately two friends just talk about their experience and share this. And it was just really cool, to do that. It didn't feel, for the most part, like they were performing for anyone. It was just them talking.
No. And it didn't feel like an interview either. I mean, I think he's got it right with the title. It's conversation. You know, it's two people who know each other, worked with each other, share the same interests, to sit down and just talk about those interests. Which to me is a lot of fun because it's not staged. It's not an interview per se. It's just great to hear. And he is such a, you know, cool guy to listen to. He's so passionate about what he does. He's mm-hmm. so good at what he does. And he's just so relaxed and he's so easy to talk to when he gets people on the mic. I can't wait to listen to the rest of these now. I'm looking forward to the
yeah, he's a lot of fun. And, you know, and these are on YouTube, but I really found, I'll tell you, I listened to it, I think, Saturday morning. I watched part of it, and through the other part, I set it down on my kitchen table. I made some breakfast and did some other things, did some cleaning. So I wasn't necessarily watching it, but I was listening to it. And I, you know, yeah, he throws some visuals up now and again, but I really feel that I got the full value out of it just listening to it. So if it's something that you're not able necessarily to give the attention to watch. And this particular one was 40 minutes. So it was, you know, it's not short. But I was very comfortable with the time frame of it. So I think if he kind of stays in that 30 to 40 minute time span for them, I think they'll be very well received. You know, and it was interesting because right up front he said, well, you know, gosh, there are people that fans might think that I might have on the show first, like Ashley Eckstein, or other folks, but he really, you know, when you spend as much time, I guess, with a character as James Arnold Taylor has with Obi-Wan, you really get to understand those characters quite a bit and what motivates them and what's important to them. And obviously, you know, if you watch the Clone Wars, you know that Duchess Satine, despite some of the rules that the Jedi had about relationships, that was probably the closest that that you could come to not having mm-hmm. or to having a relationship while not having a relationship, the relationship that he had with Satine. So I think it was very meaningful for him to have Anna Graves on in this first episode.
Yeah, no, I thought it was great. And you're absolutely right. Now, do you know, and I don't know this myself, either one of you guys know if they do the recordings of these where the actors will interact on mic, or are they just recording lines in a vacuum? I mean, did he work with her on, I didn't say on camera, but, you know, on mic in doing the shared lines together, or do they just record
their lines separately? My understanding is that they try to do them together as much as possible. Okay. And actually, in this particular episode, they did talk about it. They mentioned that, you know, they got to work together most of the time, so they are pretty much face to face in the sound booth.
Okay, I hadn't gotten that part yet. Then
there was one point in time where I guess James Arnold Taylor was injured after a car accident or something, so he did his recording separately from his home studio, which he said, you know, does make it a little challenging because he has to have someone, and in this particular case, it was Dave Filoni. Kind of, you know, in his ear saying, okay, here's what just happened. Here's the emotional response that you need to have. And this is kind of the setup for it. So he was giving him context to things because he didn't have someone to play against. So, I think it definitely flows a lot more naturally when they record together. That's all I got.
I like how... people are more willing to do conversations like this that feel more natural and organic rather than just like talking about the same old things that we've heard. It's just now being asked by like a celebrity voice. I feel like those kind of discussions are a lot more interesting than just, oh, tell me about what it was like playing the character.
Right. Yeah. Those get kind of boring.
Did you have fun? What was the bad experience you had? What is your favorite episode featuring your character?
And those are kind of very media interview types of things. It's definitely a different perspective, Chris, when you have someone who is in the business asking these questions or having this dialogue, which is really more of what it is. I think, Lou, you mentioned earlier, it's less of an interview and more of a discussion.
Hmm. Yeah, well, like I said, it's a conversation that he's... And, you know, right in the title of it. I mean, and you're right, Chris, that is the best way to have those things.
Yeah.
Because it means more. I mean, that you can tell they're really two people that are just having a conversation and not anything scripted.
And that shows a lot. Chris, I know you listen to the Nerdist podcast with Chris Hardwick. Lou, I don't know if you do. But the, that long form interview, type of format, which by the way, we have that show here on Random Chatter called Chasing Fandom, which is hosted by yours truly, Chris McGuffin. That type of thing I think works pretty well. It makes for a more relaxed discussion. It gets away from that list of rote questions that the media just kind of constantly hammers people with. And it really just seems to be like the same thing. I think you get much more meaning out of it when it's just a discussion.
Definitely. But you're right. I mean, you know, Chris's show Chasing Fandom is exactly that. It's two people that maybe not friendly, but they're, you know, well, you shouldn't say you're friendly with everybody you talk with, Chris, but you know, maybe they're not friends, but it's two people having a discussion about a fandom that one of them really, really enjoys. And most time, both of them have some interest in. So it's great to see those kind of things taking off on even on our network. So I love that. Speaking of stuff that is scripted.
Very nice.
That transition.
Good segue. Okay.
Yeah, see, I thought so. Yeah. Star Wars Convergence, is calling out for casting calls now. So if anybody's wanted to lend their voice to an audio drama, Chris, why don't you give us a little background on what Star Wars Convergence is before we go into the details of the casting call?
Well, Far, Far Away Radio, who is friends of the show, friends of the network, previously they've done audio dramas for A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. I think they were working on Return of the Jedi, but I don't think it's released yet. If it has, I haven't listened to it.
Okay.
But they're really funny. Like, it stays true to the stories, but they're really funny. So if you haven't heard those yet, you really need to check them out. Again, it's Far, Far Away Radio. But they have their own podcast and stuff. But they recently announced Star Wars Convergence, which is a complete original story, fan-made audio drama. And now they're looking for people to voice the main characters.
That's cool. So do we know anything about what the time frame was? Is this set or?
I don't know.
I don't think they've really said anything about the story yet, right?
Yeah, I want to say It's at least pre A New Hope.
Oh no! Wait, no, no. It says right here. It says said during the Clone Wars. I'm sorry. I must have skipped over the synopsis part when I was reading through the website.
Because I remember seeing the Clone Wars name popped up, so I knew it was at least around that time pre A New Hope. But
yeah, so just briefly here, the synopsis they have on the website says set during the Clone Wars, the story follows a group of unlikely allies, separatist supporters, Republic spies, crime lords, even a prototype battle droid take the stage in the middle of an impoverished, crime-ridden underworld of Beznadar. Cool.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, this sounds like it could be a lot of fun. Yeah. So let's see.
Yeah, they are they're asking for people to audition, and I believe you have until June 14th.
Yeah, auditions open 6/2, run through 6/14. So we will have this out hopefully in a few days here before 6/14 comes around. So you'll listen to this and go, oh, my God, I got to get my audition done. They give complete steps on the site here to check that out. So if you just search for Star Wars Convergence, it's actually StarWarsConvergence.com. That's where you find all the details about this. And they do give character descriptions. It's like, what, 4, 8, about 10 characters, I guess.
And they said that if the you don't get picked for one of like the main cast, then you know there's background characters that they'll also be looking for.
Yeah, so absolutely. If anyone's interested, give it a shot. And if you happen to get in, let us know.
Yeah, definitely. This could be your big chance to break into voice acting. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can be on the conversation with James Earl Tyrrell someday.
Oh, there you go.
That's good inspiration right there.
It would be, wouldn't it? Although, you know, as fun as that would be, I think it might be fun for all of us to send in auditions. I just don't think I could do voices that well and do, I mean, I trip over my own tongue sometimes, but the way these guys, like you said, he goes into a voice in the middle of a sentence is just amazing. The ones that impress me too, just as much as voice acting for animation stuff are the guys who do the audiobooks. Because they're doing multiple voices, usually over paragraph to paragraph. I'm like, wow, how do you do that? But it's an art. It's a talent like anything else, I guess. You just got to keep practicing and learn your craft. Before we get into the discussion this week, we have a couple interviews scheduled over the next coming episodes. Tim, why don't you give us a rundown of what we got coming up over the next two or three episodes here?
Well, I'm going to talk about the first one, and I'll let Chris do the rest because those are ones that he set up.
Oh, come on. No. You're the new guy. You got to take all three.
Well, so our first interview in the lineup coming up here for episode 100, that's our next episode, folks, is Heather Antos. If you're not familiar with Heather Antos, you absolutely should be. She is an assistant editor with Marvel Comics, and amongst other titles that she works with, she oversees the process of creation for all the Star Wars comics that Marvel puts out. She's very active on Twitter. She was at Celebration. We got to hear from her. And, yeah, she is definitely a riot. So we're looking forward to having her on. And fortunately, in her case, she seems to be available right now that she's actually going to fully join us, in the recording of the next episode. So we're not just going to do kind of an isolated interview, drop it into the recording, you know, magic that happens behind the scenes kind of stuff that, you know, only James Arnold Taylor can talk about. She's going to be, you know, right here with us, recording. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Sounds awesome.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. She gets to read comic books all day. I mean, really, how bad is that? So, Chris, for it looks like potentially episode 101. Oh, wait a minute. I just realized episode 100. That means like we can be in syndication, right? Like other podcast networks could pick us up and they'll pay us royalties. Wow, we just found our profit model. There it is, guys.
Wow. You're dreaming there, Tim. Okay.
I guess it wasn't that good of an idea. I'll go back to Jar Jar then.
Oh, Lord, what did I start?
Episode 101, it looks like we have a potential. We're kind of firming up some details for one. So, Chris, do we want to say who it is or no?
We can probably keep it a secret if we want to.
I don't want to necessarily say the name if they haven't committed
it. It is a Star Wars, guest that you probably, well, if you've listened to the Random Chatter Network before, you know who they are because we've promoted them. But it is a different kind of guest than you probably wouldn't be expecting.
Yeah, you've definitely heard them. Yeah. So we'll say that much.
It's not John Williams. What? I'm going to tell you that right now.
What? No, I wish it was John Williams. You told us before we started recording, you said John Williams.
Well, maybe I said Williams John or Jonathan Williams.
I'm seriously disappointed.
Yeah, definitely not John Williams, unfortunately.
No, I think these folks, once we get them confirmed, I'm really excited about it. They create some cool stuff. Episode 102, we do have confirmed Ro Coley. And Ro Coley absolutely does some very cool creations. Chris, can you talk a little bit about the stuff that Ro does and how you kind of got connected with him? Well, that goes back to the other – that goes back to the mystery guest, but
yeah.
You can talk about that.
basically, he apparently does custom action figures, including Star Wars stuff. And now when I say custom action figures, I mean like, you know, fully like handmade ones, not, you know, stuff that's just made out of like, he's not taking a Luke Skywalker body and making, you know, something out of that. It's completely 100% handmade. And there's Star Wars stuff involved as well. It is my assumption that you could get yourself turned into an action figure. I don't know if that's true or not. But it's what I heard. It's my assumption. I might be wrong, so don't tell me, you know, don't ask him, Tim, if you can have an action figure of yourself, because I don't know if it's.
Can he do a Gungan sure version of me?
That
would be awesome.
Probably.
Let's do that.
I might even buy one of those.
But Ro runs a marketing company called War Machine Marketing. They kind of do. Stuff with like a lot of music related stuff. He's worked with Epitaph Records, Band Merch, Universal Music Group, Wizard World, Disney. So, you know, he has a track record of working with these high caliber clients. And then making action figures is just one thing that he does. So I figured, hey, it's Star Wars related. It's something unique. Why not have a Moneka base?
Absolutely.
So we are scheduled to record that later in the month, and that'll be, I'm assuming, episode 102.
Cool. Good things happening here on Echo Base.
Sounds like a lot of fun. I can't wait for these. It's always good to have guests on.
Yes.
So now, you know, Tim, being the new guy, I'm going to turn over the discussion to you this week, because you brought this to us.
All right.
So we're going to let you run with the ball.
Hey, speaking of balls, I'm going to throw a curveball into this.
Oh, boy.
Because before we get into the discussion, all right, look, I have a confession I got to make here. When it comes to the end of a discussion on a podcast, I'm generally done. I you know, click the stop button or whatever. I move on to my next podcast. I tend to not listen to the closing credits. Because I already know what their Twitter handles are and their websites and whatever kind of thing they're trying to pitch. I know all that. I've heard that. Do you guys do the same thing? Be honest.
No, I stay right through the credits. I listen there.
I go through the credits. I mean, there might be a post-credits
thing. Now you guys are making me feel bad.
Oh. I mean, do you walk out of the movie too as soon as the scene ends?
Not if it's a Marvel film. Because I know better, which amazes me. People still do, but anyway, different topic. Stay focused, Tim. So before we get into our discussion, all right, so we're taking something out of our closing credits. We're putting it in the middle of the show, so don't stop right now because you're going to miss our entire discussion. That would be silly. I'm going to pull something. Oh, see, you guys are already laughing. But I'm telling you, there's people out there other than me that do this. So there's a couple things that I'm going to mention to you folks, because I guarantee I'm hitting folks who have probably heard this pitch for the first time right now. First of all, reviews. Reviews are really, really important to us here at Echo Base and the entire Random Chatter Network. You listen to us on iTunes. You listen to us on Stitcher. Derek just said he like directly downloads them from websites, which I guess you can do too. But most of us like convenience. So we go to iTunes. We go to Stitcher. Derek gets mentioned more than anyone else on our podcast. Why in the world is that?
I'm not sure why.
He's famous, and I think he's only ever been on one podcast.
Famous or infamous?
Yes.
That is a very good question.
I think he needs to start paying us royalties. I'm all about royalties. I'm going to figure this out, guys. I'm going to figure this out. So anyway, reviews. Listeners, you guys, Lou and Chris, just go do your own thing. I'm talking to the listeners right now. This is important. This is between me and them. Reviews on iTunes and Stitcher or any place else that you download podcasts from. Really important. If folks are looking for a new podcast, they're going to go in. They're going to search for Star Wars. They're going to come up with a huge, huge list of podcasts. And Echo Base is probably just going to be buried within that big list. Leave reviews. Click on, all the stars. Oh, we want all the stars. Okay. And write something in. It's great to click on the stars and then to say, hey, it's a great podcast. Well, that's nice, but write something. I'm not saying write a novel, but write something. Write something meaningful that it describes your experience and your intimate emotional connection with the Echo Base podcast or any of the other Random Chatter podcasts. Really important stuff. So do that. Tell people about us. I think I've mentioned this before. This can be friends. This can be family. This can be coworkers. This can be complete strangers. Tell people about us. If people are interested in Star Wars stuff, then say, hey, I have this great Star Wars podcast that I listen to. You should listen to it too. Lastly, on my list, Patreon. Let's talk a little bit about Patreon. Do you know what Patreon is? Patreon is a way, it's basically crowdfunding. It is a way that you can support some of your favorite things. And there's other things on Patreon, and I'm going to tell you right now, don't even worry about that stuff. Right now, we want you focused on Random Chatter. Random Chatter, again, part of the network here that Echo Base is part of. And so your contributions that go to Random Chatter, that's patreon.com/randomchatter. Contributions that you put up into Patreon contribute to the whole of Random Chatter. They pay for things like web hosting. They pay for things like digital storage space, which is what allows us to have and continue to have all of our episodes available for download going back to like the beginning of time. So you can throw any amount of money at us. You can throw a dollar at it. You can throw a dollar a month. Chris, what does a dollar a month get you from a Patreon contribution?
$1 a month gets you the best perk, which is access to our Slack channel.
It's not only a deal, it's a steal. We're actually like giving you stuff for practically free.
Yes.
Lou, what's the Slack channel all about? What is the Slack thing that we talk about?
The Slack channel is just craziness.
Well, there you have it, folks. If you want craziness in your life, give us a dollar.
Well, why wouldn't you want craziness in your life, right? Exactly. I mean, that's part of what we do here. The Slack network that we have is really just, all the hosts, all of our listeners, all of our contributors, kind of just wrapping up whatever we want to talk about. We've got several channels on there from general to sports to politics, God forbid,
Star Wars
and everything else we do, that conversations just go on and on and on. And, I can't be on as much during the day as I used to be. So I see it at night and I'm looking at the thing. And I'm just amazed at the number of messages I have to look back through. But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. And it really is the best perk. I mean, we give the best first. There are some other Patreon perks. So based on your how much you are willing and able to give, you know, $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month, $1 million a month, or just $1 million, just one bulk. Here you go. Just vomit $1 million all over us. We're totally cool with that. No one here will complain. And those perks are getting revamped. Chris and Lou are since you guys run the show here, and I mean the big show, you guys are the ones who are plugged into that. And I'm sure you're going to be telling our listeners all about that sometime very soon, right? Silence is compliance.
Yes.
So, yes, they will be telling everyone about that sometime soon. Folks, I don't even know. I show up here. I talk about things. They poke me with a stick once in a while. That's kind of how this relationship is.
Only when you mention Jar Jar.
Exactly. So that's really kind of it for my pitch here. And I just wanted to, again, throw that into the middle of the episode, make sure that everyone got it. Please don't roll your eyes at it. It's not us like holding our hands out, begging for things. We kind of are. But the more that people contribute, and I don't necessarily just mean financially, I mean, contribute by telling your friends, spreading the word, giving good reviews, that helps to build the network. And that brings more people in. It gets more people involved. It's encouraging. We can do bigger and better and cooler things. So just help us out by doing that. So that's my thing. That's what I got. You guys good? You guys happy?
I was born happy. I'm always a positive ray of sunshine around here. Right.
So on to our discussion topic. Okay, so the second half of our show. See, we got that whole Patreon thing out of the way. It's done. You don't have to hear it again in this episode.
I think Tim was worried we were going to censor him for the end of the episode. He wanted to get it out there early so we couldn't do that to him.
I had my concerns. I did have my suspicions about that, so I figured I would sneak it in right here. It may or may not survive editing. I don't know what you guys might do with it. We'll see. But our discussion. So I read somewhere, and I apologize. I usually like to give attribution for things. Although I have to imagine at this point that after this many years, how many years since A New Hope?
40 years,
folks, 40 years. So since we're 40 years down the line, I have to imagine that this information is out there fairly far and wide. Came across an article a while ago that said that, here are the people, or at least the most prominent folks who auditioned for the role of Han Solo. We're not talking for the new Han Solo movie. See what I did there, guys?
Yes.
We're talking about the first movie, Star Wars, later on, which became A New Hope. So on the list here, and I'm interested in your reactions and responses to some of these. So the first one we're going to cover on the list, Mr. Burt Reynolds. How would Burt Reynolds do as Han Solo? Can you imagine this?
I'm just trying to think of a Burt Reynolds quote that Han Solo would say.
Well, something from Smokey and the Bandit, probably.
I'm picturing from Smokey and the Bandit because that was around the same time frame. And I'm just like, wow, I just can't picture that at all.
Yeah. So Burt Reynolds, who actually still has a continuing career. I mean, you look him up on IMDb and literally he is currently acting. He's doing a variety.
Oh yeah, no, he's not a bad actor. I just can't picture him in the role of Han Solo. It's just, you think about how he is in movies where he's more of a comedic actor. He has more, you know, outright, you know, trying to be funny, not just dry humor like a Han Solo character would be. Mm-hmm. It would have been a totally different character. I mean,
if you happen
crazy to think about,
if you happen to watch Archer, I believe the second or third season of Archer featured Burt Reynolds, and it was Burt Reynolds who actually portrayed Burt Reynolds and was fantastic. He made fun of himself the whole time. It was all very Smokey and the Bandit oriented. It was fantastic. It was really, really great. Basically, that Archer had like this, you know, man crush on Burt Reynolds, and Burt Reynolds was, what's the best way, dating Archer's mother, and it was great. good episode there. But yeah, best known Smoking the Bandit. I mean, really, I mean, hit his stride early in his career, did very well in the 60s and the 70s, and stayed very busy through the 80s and 90s. And like I said, even today. So any other reactions to the potential of that we had of Burt Reynolds being Han Solo?
I mean, I guess I'm going to say for each one of these we bring up, I'm going to say whether I think it would be a good or a bad version of Han Solo. It's tough to do that because we all know and love the Han Solo we got, but I'm going to say this would not be as good as what we got.
No,
I think it'd be bad. Hey, just got to be honest here.
Just in case Burt Reynolds is listening, I mean, you know,
he might. And Mr. Reynolds, we don't mean to offend you. I mean, that's the Lou does
bad for this role.
absolutely. So next on the list, Kurt Russell. What do you think about Kurt Russell, who most recently had appeared as folks, if you haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy 2, come on. He recently appeared as Ego in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Did very well with that. So again, you know, current prolific actor.
You know, this is an interesting choice because I think Kurt Russell could have pulled off a pretty good Han Solo.
Yeah.
I mean, you think back to, you know, Snake Plissken from
Escape from New York. Absolutely.
And, you know, same kind of a scoundrel, maybe, you know? I mean,
I love that movie.
Maybe a little bit harder edge than Han Solo had, but, you know, still, I think he could have pulled off a pretty good Han Solo.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think younger Kurt Russell kind of had the look, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he did. Well, it was the 70s. They all had the look, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They kind of both had the same hairstyle at the time. I mean, Escape from New York was 1981. So, you know, not too long after New Hope was out, I think he could have pulled it off. He seems to have a very similar style to Harrison Ford. So, Chris, anything else on Kurt Russell?
No.
Yeah.
I think we've exhausted that topic.
Here's one that just doesn't seem to match for me. Nick Nolte.
You know, it's sad to say the only thing that comes to mind when I think of Nick Nolte is that horrific mugshot he took from one of the times he was arrested.
One of the times.
I mean, I like Nick Nolte. He's done some good stuff in movies. I don't see that at all.
I don't really.
I'm trying to think of what else he did at the time around that time of, you know, Star Wars.
Nothing. Well, to be honest, I mean, nothing. At least to me, that's very noticeable, or notable,
memorable. Yeah,
I did find a picture of him that's looks like it's from the 70s, just based on the clothing. Okay. He has his giant mustache, and now I'm imagining Harrison Ford with a giant mustache.
oh, just wait. We're going to talk mustaches pretty soon. You just wait.
I'm trying to go back in IMDb here, see what he did around the same time. So let's see. None of these are coming. He was in The Deep in 77.
Mm-hmm.
We'll Stop the Rain, North Dallas 40, Heartbeat, yeah, Kennery Row, okay, 48, and, I mean, 82. 48 Hours is in 82. That was a pure comedy. I mean, I liked him 48 Hours, but, I can't picture him as Han Solo at all. So I'll go with Chris on this one and say, I'll channel my inner Chris and say he'd be bad.
There you go.
He'd be a bad version of Han Solo if he did it.
Yeah, he's definitely one that I very much cannot picture. To be honest, I've really just never watched a lot of what he's done. So the Chris. Oh, gosh. Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome.
For our listeners, because of course they can't see this, in Slack, Chris just posted a this is a Harrison Ford Sam Elliott mashup. So we have a significantly what's the proper term, mustachioed Han Solo?
Yeah,
that's quite the mustache.
That's one heck of a mustache. Yeah, Sam Elliott's not on the list, folks, but I'll tell you, this is gold.
It's a Sam Elliott mustache. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's gold right there, folks. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Maybe Chris can put that up on Twitter or something. I think that's well worth sharing. next item up to bid. Next person on the list is a person who I think would be a fear-inducing Han Solo, Al Pacino.
Al Pacino. Wow.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it. No.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same thing, Chris, because everything he did around that time kind of revolves around The Godfather.
Yeah,
him and Star Wars would have affected two sagas. I mean, you know, people love the Godfather saga, and if he wasn't on there, I'd be like, whoa.
Yeah, to kind of go from The Godfather to, you know, which very, very deep and serious and brooding, to Star Wars, which is a lot more fun, just a totally different role. I can't imagine, you know, Scarface as Han Solo.
Right, right.
I would be afraid. I would soil myself. I'm just going to put that out there.
I've enjoyed him as an actor more in his later stuff than I have in the early stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell you the truth, but I don't see him as Han Solo at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with Chris. No, wouldn't work.
Yeah, it's have you guys seen The Recruit? That's a great movie.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite movies of his. Love that film.
And, you know, and later on, he I think it was great in those later movies. And The Recruit's one of them. I mean, he played a great role in that one. But, the early stuff, it doesn't seem to fit with what Han Solo would have been like as an actor.
Yeah, I agree. Anything else? Anything else to add? Good old Al Pacino?
No.
Next up on the list, good old Magnum P.I. himself, Tom Selleck. Speaking of mustaches, I think this guy himself. Yeah, I mean, he's noted for his mustache. What do you guys think about Tom Selleck as our beloved Han Solo?
I'll let Chris go first in this one.
That's a good question.
Chris, first of all, what's your point of reference for Tom Selleck? Is it Friends?
No.
No? Okay. Have you watched Magnum?
No.
Oh, Magnum P.I. was great. I don't know if it holds up. I haven't seen it in years. But I loved Magnum P.I. It was a great series.
Oh, I did too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a great series.
Honestly, I don't really have like a proper point of reference. Most of these actors were more popular then than they are now.
Mm-hmm. He had seven seasons in Blue Bloods. He was a a police captain.
He's still on that show. Is that show still on?
It might be, yeah.
And that's what he's most well known for nowadays, I suppose.
I just... I don't see it.
No?
I feel like he looks too old.
Well, he does now.
No. I mean, even in the 70s.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. He looks like... I literally Googled Tom Selleck, 1970s. And...
His Magnum, he was like America's heartthrob. Like, all the women flocked after Tom Selleck.
Oh, yeah. And I think that his role in Magnum P.I., is, I don't know, I mean, maybe I'm remembering it wrong, but I mean, pretty good Han Solo could be taken from that character.
Yeah, Yeah, I could absolutely see
that. I mean, he had the comedy, he had the, he did the whole breaking the fourth wall and talking, you know, looking at the audience type thing and, mm-hmm. The kind of thing I think that, I think it would work well as a Han Solo.
I think he would. I actually like him as a Han Solo. I don't think we would have been disappointed had Tom Selleck been selected.
No, I don't think so either.
He definitely would have had a very different career arc.
you can say that again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's mostly, obviously he's been in some movies, but TV has really been his thing. And,
well, I think after Made in P.I., he did quite a few movies. And I think that's where his career went, and I'm surprised he came back to television. Because when he came back to television on Friends, it was like, wow, a movie star on playing a bit part in a television show.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he did Three Men and a Baby in 87, which was that was a fun comedy.
Yep. I mean, he had Quickly Down Under was that Australian one he did. Mm-hmm. He did a bunch of other movies. I can just draw a blank on him at the moment.
Yeah.
But I can see him as Han Solo.
Yeah. But Chris, you're not bought into it, huh?
No. Okay. In the words of Yoda, too old.
Too old to be in the training.
All right. Well, the next one on our list, I'm going to see if you guys can figure this out from my impression that I'm going to give here. I'm not known for my impressions, and there's a reason for that. But I'm going to do an impression. We'll see if you guys figure it out.
Okay.
Yo, Leia. There it is.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's it?
So you give it this?
That was so anticlimactic.
yo, Leia.
Actually, Lou just did it very well. Lou, do you even know who you're doing?
I'm thinking Billy Dee Williams, but, he got a different role.
No. Sly Stallone.
Leia had to have a longer name. Adrian.
I guess with more syllables, it actually was a little more meaningful.
If you did Princess Leia. Yeah.
Oh, that was good. That was real good.
No, it wasn't good. Sylvester Stallone as Han Solo.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. No, I don't think that would work at all. Oh my goodness! I don't think that could be. Oh, Chris, those are bad. Could Chris add any more fuel to our slack fire?
Yeah.
Oh gosh! Oh, those are great images.
I love the last one with Pacino.
That's good.
Yeah.
Chris, where in the world have you found these? That's hilarious.
The internet is a strange place, my friend.
That's true.
Nothing dies on the internet.
That's very true. So we have Chewie with Rambo. Chewie has his bowcaster, and Rambo's next to him with his M60 or whatever. And then
shirtless, by the way.
Yes,
shirtless. Yeah, of course.
It's Rambo.
Well, it's first blood. So,
amongst all the Rambo movies, I think he wore a shirt for a total of like a minute and a half combined. And then we have a Pacino with a Scarface-esque, the white and black with the red lettering kind of background and in a very traditional Han Solo pose. These are good. These are good images.
These are good.
So Rocky, Rambo, the guy who we've known for doing these types of roles, come on, guys. You don't think he would have made an awesome, maybe even the best Han Solo ever?
It would have been a different movie entirely.
Yeah.
You think so?
I could see Han Solo talking with Obi-Wan on the Falcon now saying, "But they drew first blood."
That's good. That's good. I like it. I like it. Chris, what are your thoughts on Sly?
Just no.
Well, now, if you take him out of the role of Cobra in the movie Cobra,
okay,
that might work. Marion Cobretti.
Well, Cobra was just a different version of Rambo.
That's right.
I mean, it's all the same.
But he has a shirt on most of the time, so, you know.
Yeah, and he didn't have a red headband.
No, he didn't.
I think those were actually the biggest differences.
Okay, so now out of all these actors here, now if Han Solo misses his interview that day or just didn't go in, so, you know,
well, you mean Harrison Ford?
I'm sorry, Harrison Ford. If he didn't go in, and we had to pick one of these other guys, who would we pick?
Oh man,
I mean, I don't think Chris said yes to anybody. right, Chris.
I don't think I did.
Wow. Come on, Chris.
If you had to pick one of these guys on the Falcon, one of these guys had to be in that scene to kiss Carrie Fisher. And say, I love you, I know.
Oh, man.
Come on, Sly Stallone giving the Hokey Religions speech there? Yeah, come on. You know that would be a classic line. That no one could understand.
If I had to pick, I would honestly probably have to go with Kurt Russell.
Okay.
Okay.
Lou, how about you?
And that's like killing me to say that.
You know, I think I'd go Tom Selleck.
Yeah.
Oh, Lou.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I think it could work. He's got that smile. He's got that, you know, kind of charisma-esque thing that he's kind of like, you know, hey, I'm it's me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, see, I would say from an authenticity perspective, Tom Selleck with a very close runner-up, Kurt Russell, from a pure comedic, I would pay to see it, Sly Stallone as Han Solo would be the most incredible thing that I want to see that I never want to have be canon. I just make the darn movie. It would be fantastic.
Oh man.
You know, I totally forgot about this, but we actually have footage of Kurt Russell's Star Wars audition.
Oh, you know what? We do. I remember seeing something quite a while ago, but yeah, there's been something kicking around the internet of that.
I don't think I've seen that.
Yeah.
You know who wasn't on the list that might have been kind of fun would be Roy Scheider.
From, give me context.
Let's see, the only thing coming to mind right now is Sequest DSV, that stupid show from the 80s. But he was Blue Thunder.
Jaws.
He was the pilot in Blue Thunder. And Jaws, yep. How did I forget Jaws? But I'm thinking of his character in Blue Thunder would have been, you know, kind of right on the same.
Okay. Yep. Same yeah, task. He was Brody. He was the sheriff in Jaws.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that could have been interesting. I think maybe a little too serious.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, I could see that happening. I could definitely see that happening. Any other honorable mentions of people who we would have liked to have seen audition for this and potentially land the role of Han Solo?
Nothing else comes to mind.
No. Yo, Leia.
No.
That's going to haunt me from now on. Yo, Leia.
That should be the episode title. Yo, Leia.
Yo, Leia.
Yo, Leia.
There it is, folks. Episode 99, Echo 99. Base. Yo, Leia.
Oh. How are we still a podcast?
I don't know.
99 episodes in, baby. Yo, Leia. Oh, my gosh.
All right, Lou. Take us home.
Well, I think we should wrap this up, shouldn't we?
Yep.
Before it gets worse.
It can't get any worse, Chris. Come on. Let's not, you know. Remember, River is an optimist.
That's right.
Okay. If you want to send us feedback on this episode, if you have a thought of who you thought should be Han Solo, please write us an email, send it into us. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And if you have pictures of them on the internet, like Chris has found, of now Sliced Alone doing the whole Han Solo in the cantina thing with his hand up on the wall behind him looking nonchalantly like he's going to shoot somebody.
It's awesome.
Yeah, if you find those, send them into us. That'd be great. I'd love to see those.
Yep.
If you do that by sending us an email, echobase@randomchatter.com is the best way to do that.
You know, I'm going to put a challenge out to our listeners. If you were particularly good at impressions, take one of these actors or whoever you think should be Han Solo or should have been Han Solo. And do an impression of them with a Han Solo line. And if you send it to us, we will play it on the next episode.
Keep it clean.
Yes. Well, it's a Han Solo line.
It's going
to
be a Han Solo quote,
Well, but consider this. Al Pacino as Han Solo? Oh, that would have made this a rated R movie, hands down. I mean, seriously, Scarface as Han Solo? Vader would have turned and run.
Say hello to my little friend. I have to work on my Stallone because I think there's some good lines that Han had that would be awesome in the Stallone accent.
Absolutely.
So yeah, send those to echobase@randomchatter.com, or you can do some things on our social media. We also take submissions there. That way we can retweet them and everyone can hear them.
Yes, we like that.
You can find us on our Facebook, facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. You can also follow us on Twitter @EchoBasePodcast or the network Twitter @RandomChatter. My Twitter is @TheCurseOfChris. Lou, what is your Twitter?
It's just my name. It's Lou Secchi, LouSecki.
And Jar Jar, Tim.
That is @YoLea. No, that is @QuiGonTim. That's Tim with two N's.
And don't forget, you can find all of our shows at randomchatter.com.
Guys, spread the word, support us. Reviews, iTunes, Stitcher, real important. Tell friends, family, total strangers, coworkers. Patreon, really good. Dollar, $1 million, it's cool.
Finally, the music you hear on this podcast is the Force theme by Scandroid and the Imperial March. Still
on that note, we will leave you until next week. Thanks for listening.